that you would exit quietly and solemnly, remembering what today is all about. Remembering that we intentionally picked songs that just talk about the death of Jesus, the cross. And it's a sad, sad day. And we want to acknowledge that. But the party's coming, right? Party's coming. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. You are our King. You are our hiding place. We thank you for the love that you showed us on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Last year for Good Friday, I talked about how I was glad that it wasn't me. I don't know if you remember that or not. Obviously, I'm not worthy anyway. So there's no way it could have been me, but still, I'm glad it wasn't. And I don't think I could have done it. Especially if I knew what he knew, right? He knew the disciples would betray him. Mark 14, 22 through 25. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples saying, take this, for this is my body. And he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. And I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. He knew that he was eating the Last Supper with his closest friends. But at that same night, Judas, one of the 12, would betray him, would sell him out. Most of the other disciples would ditch him. Peter, the rock, you remember that guy? He would deny that he ever knew him. He knew that he would be whipped. He knew that he would be beaten. He knew that he would be nailed to a tree. Luke 22:44 says that he prayed more fervently and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. He sweat drops of blood. He was so troubled. And remember, Pilate tried to save him. He tried to just give him a good beating. The Greek word for flog, mastigao, comes from the word to gnaw. It's the imagery of someone chewing up some grizzled steak that just won't go down. So what do? You spit it out into a napkin. This is what someone's back looked like when it was done, when they were done being flogged. And when he had been flogged, when he had been whipped 39 times, they put a fake, painful crown on him and covered him with a robe, only to rip it off. I'll parade him around. Maybe that will be enough. Pilate's trying to let him off the hook. He's trying his darndest to not kill this guy. And then he shouts out, this is good enough. We've beaten him. We've humiliated him. This is good enough. Let him go. And what do the crowds shout? Crucify. 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 5 days before, the crowds had been chanting, Hosanna, King of Kings. How fickle. Crucify him. Put him to death. I've said this before, the word excruciating literally means from the cross. It's usually used to describe the worst kind of pain. A migraine, kidney stones, something like that. Those do not do it justice, however. I know I've said it before, but the cross is thought of as one of the most painful ways to die. usually reserved for the worst of the worst, for traitors, for people that were attempting to overthrow kings, or the worst of all, murderers. This is how much God loves us. This is how much the shepherd loves his sheep. We are his sheep. He loves each one of us. So much that God, the Creator, the Omniscient, the Omnipresent One, He let His one and only Son die for us. And it was not the nails that held Jesus to the cross. No, friends, it was love. I know that is really cliche. It's on t-shirts and bumper stickers. But being cliche does not make it not right. Does not make it not true. Jesus knew that the way to God, the way to forgiveness, the way to being declared right by God was His blood. And man, there was so much blood. He knew what He was in for. He knew why He came. He could have called it all off. But He didn't. He was led. He went. He was led willingly to take our punishment for our crimes. And that was my focus last year. Which is really, we should focus on that. I then talked about what happens to the human body when it's on the cross. Remember that? Slow suffocation. It's not the cross usually that killed you. It was you were hanging there and you can't breathe. And so you have to push yourself up with your feet to grab a breath. And then you slump back down. And there's a point where it happens that your legs just don't push up anymore. And you basically suffocate. That's the cross. I talked about the spear. And the fulfilling of Scripture that He would not have any broken bones. And that He would be laid in a borrowed tomb. And I talked about how the term Good Friday seemed so odd to me. But it really is an appropriate name. Because the suffering and death of Jesus, as terrible as it was, marked the dramatic culmination of God's plan to save His people from their sin. The blood of Jesus is what God sees when He looks at those that love Him. It is because of His death, His willingness to go to the cross, that our sins are forgiven. And that atoning work done for us, the substitution of His death for ours, is so crucial. It's key. It is what the entire world hinges around. Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy waiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. I want to affirm that Jesus' blood, that Jesus' death, is integral to the forgiveness of sin. This is a biblical idea, and I'm grateful for this forgiveness. Very, very grateful. Jesus did more for us when He went to the cross, though. And I was reading several different scholars when I stumbled across one that I really, really resonated with this week. The scholar Geoff Halsklaw reminded me that the death of Jesus accomplished several things when He went to the cross besides forgiveness of our sins. And the forgiveness of our sins being most integral. The first one of those is that Jesus died for our freedom. The Scripture says, and our experience confirms, that we are slaves to sin. Captives of a power that pushes us to do what we do not want to do. If you read and remember when we went through the book of Romans. In Romans 7, he says, I do what I don't want to do, and when I do want to do, I don't do, and I blah blah. He just goes back and forth chasing his tail. About how he does do what he wants to do, but yet what he wants to do, he can't do. It's Paul. But Jesus died to free us from this power of sin. It goes back to God delivering Israel from slavery in Egypt. God liberated Israel through the Passover sacrifice, a sacrifice of protection and ransom. You guys remember that? Jesus, God told his people, he said, listen, I'm gonna send an angel of death. If you really want freedom, here's what you got to do. I need you to paint blood over your doorstep, or your mantle, and I want you, and the death it'll pass over you. Jesus died for our freedom. He died for a ransom. Jesus understood his death. His death was a ransom for us. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. And more importantly, Jesus died during the Passover festival. Jesus linked his death to the liberating sacrifice of the Passover. But now Jesus is rescuing us, not merely from slavery in Egypt, but slavery to sin and death. Aren't you glad about that? I don't have to say yes to myself. I don't have to say yes to what I want, my carnal desires. I don't have to say yes to all that because Jesus died for me and now lives in me the power to overcome death, the power to overcome sin. Jesus died so we could be free. The next thing is that Jesus died for family. After freeing Israel from slavery, God enters into a new relationship with Israel. This is often called a covenant. But we could understand it as entering into a new family. God often talks about Israel as either his firstborn or his bride. Either way, God and Israel are all family now. Mark 14:24, and he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice for many." And Jesus, during the Last Supper, says his death is a new covenant through which the family of God and humanity will be formed. It is for this reason that Jesus teaches his disciples in Matthew 6:9 to pray to God as Abba, as Father. Jesus died so that we could enter into a new family. We are all family now. We are all God's children, and we all call each other brothers and sisters in Christ. You are my sister. You are my brother. We are all part of a family. We are all part of an exclusive line. We are grafted into God's people. Jesus died so we could have family. The next thing is that Jesus died for fellowship. Now, this one might seem like a stretch, but it's true. We have to look to the Old Testament context of the daily sacrifices. Israel was commanded to offer God one lamb in the morning and one lamb in the evening every day. This was a witness that God was the God of Israel who had promised to dwell in their midst forever. This is from the book of Exodus 29. It was a sacrifice of fellowship offered every day. And Jesus, during the Last Supper, told his disciples to take the bread and the cup and to do these things in remembrance of Jesus. But just not to remember Jesus as if he wasn't there, but actually to participate, to fellowship with Jesus, who was in their midst. 1 Corinthians 10:16. So Jesus died as a fellowship offering given to build up the community of the family. You see how important God viewed his family as? It's almost that everything he is doing, he is gearing up for his children, for his family. And if you are in Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus, you are part of that family. That means Jesus and God have literally given everything to have you. Even going to the cross and enduring the worst death you could ever imagine. For you and for me. In Jesus, we have fellowship. And He has given His life to build up the community of our family. Oh, and also, Jesus died for forgiveness. Can't let it go. I know I talked about that already, right? This seems so well understood that you might think further comment would be unnecessary. I recapped it just now. I preached about it last year. There are so many sermons going on right now that are talking about it. I want to remind us, though, that the forgiveness of sin is not what starts a relationship with God. Forgiveness of sin is what maintains a relationship with God. This is true of Israel's relationship with God, and it is true with our relationship with God. In Jesus, God frees us from sin. He draws us into a new family and offers us regular fellowship. And when we blow it, God also offers us forgiveness. God does the work to keep us in relationship. God bears the burden. Romans 5:8. Truly, this is an act of love. God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lastly, I also want us to view Jesus as who He was. He was 100% God. Absolutely. But He was also 100% man. He wrestled with the cross, remember? If there's any other way, God, if there's any other way, take this from me. Three different times. Remember? He loved His disciples, the screw-ups that they were. He loved His siblings, and He loved His mom. I came across this song yesterday, and I thought it was really appropriate. It is a song by J.J. Heller called Still My Little Boy. It is a song from the point of Mary watching her son hang on the cross. It's so good. Let us never forget that Jesus was human. He was a son. He was a brother. He was a friend. It cost so much for Him to go to the cross. However, God deemed us, you and me, worthy of it. Please think about the love of Jesus. Think about the love that He showed on the best Friday. For you and for me. And as always, let's not be numb to exactly how much it cost. Watch this video.
Your tiny hand in mine, fragile as a flower. Would watch you sleep and listen to you breathing. I'd hold you when you'd cry. I wish I could hold you now. If I sing your lullaby, will you hear my voice? You're still not.